Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It's the Alex Jones Show live. I'm Paul Joseph Watson, editor and writer for PrisonPlanet.com, filling in once again for Alex Jones while he's on the road on this Friday, May 6, 2011 edition. And if you thought your intelligence had not been insulted enough by Obama and the establishment media over the Bin Laden fable, then stay tuned because the deception truly knows no bounds. Steve Watson and Aaron Dykes coming up in the second half of the show. And Aaron is going to be joined by top spymaster, worked under five US presidents for his fourth installment of interviews this week on the Alex Jones Show. And that, of course, is Dr. Steve R. Pachenik. So be sure to tune in for that. And we might get time for some of your calls in the next hour, but I'm going to be joined at the bottom of the hour by Gerald Celente of the Trends Research Institute to talk about the real threats to the United States, which go beyond the cartoonish bogeyman threat of Osama bin Laden and the CIA front group Al-Qaeda. But if you had some concerns about the fact that the bin Laden fable was collapsing amidst a deluge of deceit, flip-flopping, and these slippery narratives that the White House has to continually invent, then fear no more, because Al-Qaeda themselves have now confirmed the absolute veracity and truthfulness of Obama's official story that he told to the nation about this bin Laden raid on Sunday night. And of course, Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy also do exist. That has been confirmed. Because the US government contractor, SITE Institute, funded to the tune of $500,000 a year by, you guessed it, the US government, has posted a message on an internet forum and then pointed at it and said, look, Al-Qaeda's now confirmed the absolute veritas of our fairy tale. CNN reports Al-Qaeda released a statement on jihadist forums confirming the death of its leader, Osama bin Laden, according to Site Intelligence Group, which monitors militant messages. The statement, translated by Site, lauded the late militant, threatened to take action against the United States, and urged Pakistanis to rise up and revolt. Now, here's the problem. Site, S-I-T-E, the group that's released this message confirming Obama's narrative of everything that happened on Sunday evening, is nothing more than a front group for the US and Israeli intelligence community. It's a propaganda conduit through which fake Al-Qaeda tapes and statements are released as propaganda to justify this brutal and pointless war on terror, which Obama and his administration are now aggressively reinvigorating with this post 9/11 intellectual castration of the American people that they're trying to whip up again as we approach the election cycle. But the evidence that this site group is a US intelligence front doesn't consist of black helicopter fantasies, as Time magazine would have it, and it has nothing to do with Roswell or aliens, as this week Forbes magazine hit piece out today would have it. Because in my article on PrisonPlanet.com, which you can go to right now, it's the top story, every single claim I make is documented with a link to the source. That's something we just like to do. Mainstream media aren't too concerned about doing that because they don't report the facts. All they're doing is trying to smear us for trying to get to the bottom of this bin Laden fable. The fact is that Site is about as credible as Barney the Purple Dinosaur. Their history proves it. This is an organization founded by the daughter of an executed Israeli spy. This is an organization that receives $500,000 a year directly from the US government. This is a subsidiary of the Pentagon, and they claim that they're an independent group.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We're back on The Alex Jones Show, Friday, May the 6th, 2011. Alex will be joining us around about 24 past the hour to give his take on this unfolding Bin Laden fable. We got Aaron Dykes with Steve Pachenik coming up later in the show, and we'll try and get to some of your calls. So CNN reports that Al-Qaeda has conveniently come out and verified the official White House narrative of the Bin Laden raid with this anonymous post on a message board. But who's the conduit for this information? Well, it's our old friends at the Site Institute, who, just by another coincidence, have been caught red-handed in the past, releasing fake Al-Qaeda tapes and messages at the most politically expedient time for the Obama administration. What an interesting coincidence. As I was explaining before the break, and this is all in my article on prisonplanet.com, it's all documented, not black helicopter fantasies, as Time magazine would have it, nothing to do with Roswell, as this bumbling, weak Forbes hit piece tried to smear us from. This is all fact. Source Watch is the primary source of this. That's the it's a Wikipedia-type website that collates all information about specific organizations. And this organization, Site, that has released this Al-Qaeda message today, confirming everything that the White House says about the Bin Laden raid, founded by the daughter of an executed Israeli spy, gets $500,000 a year directly from the US government. It's a subsidiary of the Pentagon. It's basically a contractor to the US government. This is an organization that has released Al-Qaeda tapes before Al-Qaeda itself has released them, telling you again that the two organizations, the Az-Sahab, Al-Qaeda so-called media arm, and Site, as well as their sister organization, Intel Center, are one and the same. That's why the logos on the videotapes, when they were analyzed, were actually in the same frame, because they were added at the same time, not after Al-Qaeda had released it. In one case, with the 2007 Bin Laden 9/11 anniversary tape, Site released the tape before the Al-Qaeda group. So, I mean, it's a chicken and egg scenario. These groups are one and the same. And Rita Katz, the founder of this group, just happens to work very intimately with the Department of Justice and the Department of Homeland Security. And it's a front group. It's a Trojan horse for releasing fake statements and tapes that claim to come from Al-Qaeda, but which actually emanate directly from the US government through this conduit and through the intelligence agencies that run Al-Qaeda. And it goes on. I mean, part of Site's entire website was found to be wholesale copied, lifted, directly from the US State Department website, their 2003 State Patterns of Global Terrorism, lifted wholesale onto the Site website. But don't worry, because a very credible individual has now come forward and verified the veracity, the credibility of this organization, and it's none other than Blackwater's Eric Prince. Oh, yes, he of the mass murders in Iraq. That's some good company to keep, isn't it? But he says that Site is a perfectly proper, reasonable, truthful organization, so I guess we can trust him. But, I mean, just as they've come up trumps today with this Al-Qaeda confirmation of, you know, Obama's fairy tale as it collapses around him, Site has this convenient habit of releasing Al-Qaeda tapes at the most politically expedient times for the Obama administration, and indeed the Bush administration before that. Just 2 days after the bombshell story about Anwar al-Awlaki, who, you know, is now being touted by the media as the new Bin Laden, they need a new bogeyman to replace him. When the bombshell story about him visiting top brass at the Pentagon came out just weeks after 9/11, and bear in mind, this is a guy who said, they said, ran the Fort Hood, the Delta 253, the Times Square patsies, amongst a myriad of others. 2 days after that story came out, that he had been dining just weeks after 9/11, and he was supposedly in charge of the patsies who flew Flight 77 into the Pentagon. Yeah, he was visiting the top brass weeks later. 2 days after that story hit the news, SAI, this institute that's in the news again today, releases a videotape of Al-Awlaki reaffirming his commitment to global jihad and celebrating the actions of Hassan, the Fort Hood shooter, the Times Square bomber, as well as Abdul Mulatab, the Christmas Day patsy. So just 48 hours after people start asking questions about why Al-Awlaki is visiting the Pentagon when he's this so-called Al-Qaeda mastermind, SAI helpfully releases a tape with Al-Awlaki saying, no, I'm fully committed to global jihad. I'm a terrorist. I support Hassan, Times Square bomber, Abdul Mulatab. It's all fine and dandy. But that wasn't good enough. On the same weekend, SITE Institute released a tape of this Mossad intelligence agent, Adam Perlman, otherwise known as Al-Qaeda leader, Adam Gadon, also praising Hassan, the Times Square dud bomber, and Abdul Mulatab, the fake Christmas Day patsy. You know, well-dressed man got him on the plane. He wasn't even aware of the fact that he had this fizzle bomb in his underpants. So it was basically two for the price of one. In the very 48 hours after the whole war on terror was coming under increased scrutiny because of this Al-Qaeda mastermind visits the Pentagon story, SITE helpfully comes out and reaffirms the official view. And, I mean, if you've got any doubts remaining that these Al-Qaeda tapes and statements are the work of Mossad and the CIA, just look at Adam Perlman himself. I mean, this is a guy that in his past, in his college days, wrote stinging essays condemning Muslims as, quote, bloodthirsty terrorists. This is a guy who used to enjoy hanging around outside mosques to beat up Arabs. And this is a so-called one of the primary leaders of Al-Qaeda now. This is a guy whose grandfather was none other than Carl K. Perlman, who was on the board of directors for the ADL, which, of course, was caught spying on Americans back in the early 90s. I mean, he's got Mossad spy screaming out from every orifice. A child of three could see that this guy's a double agent. And yet SITE, which is this organization in the news again today, continues to release videotapes from him claiming to be, you know, Al-Qaeda's top mastermind. It's an insult to our intelligence and it's cartoonish propaganda. A child could pick it apart, and yet they're still bombarding the American people with this crap about this blatant Mossad agent beats up Arabs, calls them bloodthirsty terrorists, but now he's the Al-Qaeda leader. How believable. Grandfather in the ADL. I mean, the proper, it's like we were talking about yesterday with Paul Craig Roberts. The propaganda is so weak. It's so weak. It makes you wonder if they're all, it's just an inside joke with these people about how dumbed down they've made the American people to even entertain this nonsense. But now the same group, funded by the US government, tied at the hip with the US government, run by the daughter of this Israeli spy, puts out videos by this blatant Mossad spy, Perlman, caught putting out fake Al-Qaeda videos. We've got a list of when they did that in the article. Now tells us that a statement on a message board proves that Al-Qaeda has confirmed every facet of Obama's official narrative. And, of course, the lapdog mainstream media just instantly accepts it as gospel. I mean, I could find somebody who speaks Arabic to go on this message board and claim to be bin Laden himself. In fact, you know, why don't we just have somebody who speaks Arabic call into the show and claim that they're Osama bin Laden, alive and well? Because, you know, if that standard of verification is good enough for CNN and Sky News, a post, an anonymous post on a message board fed to them by this Pentagon front, then why can't it be good enough for the rest of us? No, we document our every claim with hyperlinks, unlike the likes of Forbes magazine and Time magazine, who just throw out glib statements about Roswell and, you know, black helicopter fantasies. They document nothing. It's all just sophomoric playground insults, and it's pathetic. And the majority of the American people and people globally are seeing right through it. I mean, you can go and read the comments you know, Daily Mail, New York Times, CBS News, ABC News. Read the stories about the terror, fear-mongering, the propaganda, but read the comments underneath. The vast majority now just see right through it, and yet they continue to put this out, and it just doesn't seem to disturb them. But now, of course, we have Osama's daughter and his wife say that their dad was killed, so therefore it must be true. Again, this has been fed to us by the same sources, the government, the Pentagon. You know, this is the same wife that was cowardly Osama's human shield. That turned out to be absolute BS. I mean, who's to say if these people are even genuine, you know, or if they're not being tortured to say whatever they want them to say to continue this fable? I mean, they've been caught lying in every other instance about this narrative, and so how are we supposed to believe them on this aspect? You know, first there's a 40-minute shootout. That turns out to be one guy in another building across the street. You know, every aspect of it's been flip-flop. That's why they're now saying that Jay Carney, the White House press secretary, should basically be fired because he's trying to juggle all the lies and he just can't do it. And he's exacerbated, and, you know, the press corps are throwing all these questions at him saying, trying to get the story straight, and he just can't handle it anymore. But don't worry, because today we've got the DNA and the facial recognition evidence, which has been promised to be released. Of course, they didn't release the photo because they know it might end up like the birth certificate with a million people claiming it's a hoax. And we'll come back on the Alex Jones Show to dig further into this with Alex Jones coming up live to talk about the Bin Laden fable. I'm Paul Joseph Watson. Don't go away. Jones Show, May 6, 2011. I'm Paul Joseph Watson, editor and writer for PrisonPlanet.com, filling in for Alex today. And we're joined on the road live by the man himself, Alex Jones. Alex, it turns out we were wrong. The US government-funded Pentagon front group run by the daughter of an Israeli spy says that Al-Qaeda has confirmed every aspect of Obama's Bin Laden fairy tale.
Well, that's right. I mean, for years, even the Associated Press will lower itself to the level of pond scum by saying, Bin Laden says they're to strike with nukes next week, or Bin Laden says he's going to hit us next month, or... And then at the bottom of the article, it'll always say, this was unconfirmed from a message board. And we have the Intel Center with Rumsfeld uploading the Adam Gadon videos in the same layer with their logo as the Al-Qaeda logo. I mean, this is just absolutely asinine, and it shows how desperate they're getting now that every aspect... I mean, think about it, folks. Their so-called Situation Room photo op wasn't even hooked to video. They weren't watching anything. They weren't running anything. Well, absolutely, because the whole thing is a lie. You know, when I've been on national TV the last few days, on Inside Edition, Russia Today, you name it, the host will sit there and say, oh, so 9/11 was a conspiracy, and now this is a conspiracy. Well, of course it is. If 9/11 is a lie and a fraud and a hoax, and the whole Al-Qaeda situation is on record, as your brother Steve covered yesterday, with Clinton refusing to take Bin Laden when he was under arrest in Sudan, with Gaddafi's arrest warrant for Bin Laden when Bin Laden tried to kill him. And look, it's Al-Qaeda attacking Gaddafi again. I mean, we happen to know the history. We happen to be informed. This is 100% manufactured by outside groups that are staging terror against our country through agents in the government as a pretext to take all our rights. And that's why I'm popping in this hour, and I'll pop in the last 15 minutes the next hour, and I'll probably also pop in when Steve Pachinik is coming up again with more bombshell information. Forbes has attacked us for the Pachinik situation, Time, New York Magazine, The Atlantic. I mean, it is all coming down right now because they're so scared. But here's the issue. I've had time to really cogitate and think about what I think's going on right now, and it's very clear. they are getting ready to frame Pakistan. They're seriously considering it for the next terror attacks here in the U.S., claiming al-Qaeda's in Pakistan. And oops, they move the set piece. If they want to invade Iraq, say al-Qaeda's there. If they want to invade Afghanistan, say al-Qaeda's there. If they want to invade Sudan, al-Qaeda's there. If they want to invade Libya, al-Qaeda's there. Oh, but sorry, al-Qaeda works for them in Libya. Bush, 5 years ago, signed that public order. This was on WhiteHouse.gov. That four groups out of Iraq were being used inside Iran to bomb the government and kill police. The media said, then went further to say that Iran was working with al-Qaeda. Iran is Shiite, the opposite group of the Sunni Wahhabist out of Saudi Arabia, al-Qaeda. They hate each other more than anybody, but here was the issue. While our media was saying Iran was backing al-Qaeda, three of the four groups that Bush sent in were known admitted al-Qaeda, including at the time number three in al-Qaeda, commanding one of the groups. So al-Qaeda, just like they attacked the Serbs, everybody else, the Russians, this is a tool of the global banking cartel that uses it to attack our country so they can wrap their unpopular policies in the flag. But here's the biggest news, and I told you this before 9/11, folks. I'm telling you this now. They are doing the preparatory groundwork and are clearly brainwashing the public and trial balloon testing this Bin Laden hoax to see if they can stage massive terror attacks in Europe or the United States as a pretext for more wars, but more importantly, for domestic police state crackdowns here. This is the greatest threat we have ever been under, and the fact that we are officially challenging their fable and calling them on their fraud. See, a conspiracy theory is anybody that questions them, anybody who's noticed they lie, anyone who knows history. They just have that label on anyone that dare question their historical fairy tale narratives. I mean, it'd be like if they told me Santa Claus was coming to my house next Christmas, I'd say, I don't believe in Santa Claus. And they said, first, you didn't believe in Santa Claus when you were 5, then 6, then 7. Now you're 37. You still don't believe in it. Is this a new fantasy, a new conspiracy theory that in 2011 you don't believe Santa Claus is coming, Mr. Jones? It's the same thing. Oh, you thought 9/11 was a conspiracy and now Bin Laden's a conspiracy. It was the same Santa Claus 9.5 years ago as this new Santa Claus. It's all part of the same Santa Claus situation. And no, I don't believe in Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy, or any of it. We know the truth. Folks, brace for massive stage terror attacks. Red alert, maximum alert. Get the word out to everyone. We've got to warn everyone. And we got to call the White House, tell them don't stage the terror attack that all the White House advisors have been calling for. Gerald Celente coming up. I'll be back later. God bless you all.
That red, white, and blue in this faux jingoistic celebration of the death of Osama bin Laden. National Journal reporting the cost of bin Laden, $3 trillion over 15 years. Quote, what do we have to show for that tab? Two wars that continue to occupy 150,000 troops and tie up a quarter of our defense budget. A bloated homeland security apparatus that has at times pushed the bounds of civil liberty. Soaring oil prices, partially attributable to the global war on bin Laden's terrorist network. And a chunk of our mounting national debt, which threatens to hobble the economy unless lawmakers compromise on an unprecedented deficit reduction deal. Now, I'm delighted to say we've been joined by Gerald Celente of TrendsResearch.com, and he's, of course, with the Trends Research Institute. Gerald has been on the record as having correctly forecast some of the most fundamental events in politics and finance over the past three decades. He's predicted it all. Good to have you on the show today, Gerald.
Oh, thanks for having me back.
Pleasure. I just want to get your take on the whole Bin Laden circus show. Today we've got this U.S. intelligence front saying that, you know, Al-Qaeda itself has confirmed all the official narrative that Obama's put out, even as the fable collapses around him, with now even mainstream media journalists pointing out all this flip-flopping and deceit that's come out of the White House. What's behind the spectacle, and how does Obama plan to use it to manipulate the American people as we head towards 2012?
Well, as we see it, it's this is very important, Paul, to understand. Let's go back to 4 days before this happened, April 27th. Ben Bernanke made his first ever, Fed's first ever press conference. Held his, and by the time he finished the press conference, gold prices shot up $20 an ounce. Silver went up $2 an ounce. The dollar hit a three-year low. And then 2 days later, the United States, NATO, the UK, and France, they bombed Gaddafi's son's home, killed the son, wiped out three of the kids, and the tide was turning against Obama. He was down in the polls. His ratings were sinking. The whole mentality has changed since this has happened. As a comedy as this is, and I don't know how any living adult could believe one word that they're saying, they've still been very successful in turning the tide. The economic tide has been pushed back for a while, and so they've accomplished something. And what they've also done is they've reinstituted fear back in the people's minds. And fear and hysteria are the two great cards to play by politicians. Does anybody ever forget George W. Bush? This guy couldn't walk and chew gum at the same time. You know, and all of a sudden, you know, people started believing him because of all of this war on terror. So it works. And what Obama is doing, and you know, the wimpocrats to me are the biggest hypocrites on the planet. This guy's out pushing Bush by a long shot. What are they just sending? They just killed another 15 innocent people in Pakistan with Predator drones. Oh, excuse me, suspected militants and some civilians that were near a restaurant. You know, what if this ever happened? What if they started popping drones into the UK, US, and France? Boy, we'd be at war really quick, wouldn't we? So what they've done is they've been successful in setting the stage for terror. And the people bite at it at the first chomp of the apple when it's put in front of them. So we're going to see the terror card played, the terror bandwagon is rolling, and it's going to roll right through to Election Day.
Yeah, and in your article, bigger than Bin Laden, America's new public enemy number one, you talk about this state of hysteria. And, I mean, you had the dichotomy about, you know, Obama on Sunday night coming in front of the nation and saying the world is now safer. But then you have Hillary Clinton the day after saying we need to redouble our efforts. Now we've got all these terror alerts about Al-Qaeda wanting to derail trains. We've got talk of TSA goons, you know, stationed in the malls putting their hands down our pants. I mean, doesn't that just represent the fact that they've exploited this to heighten exactly what you said, that state of hysteria? And really, I mean, it's not about celebrating the death of Bin Laden. It's about using his death to just strike the fear of God into Americans.
Exactly. And that's exactly what they're doing. That's what we're saying. They're going to keep this thing alive, regardless of the fairy tale that they've told. You know, not, most people don't know the details of the lies. You know, first it was a firefight, then it wasn't. Then he used his wife as a human shield, and then he did. And, you know, one after another. Most people don't know that. They only hear the first lie. They don't tune in. You know, most people, you know, this America's snooky stupid. Let's, you know, this Dancing with the Stars. They don't know the details. All they know are the headlines. So it's working very, very well for them. As I mentioned, it's changed the tide. The country, the world was freaking out after public enemy number one, Osama bin Bernanke, got on stage and told the world that, hey, listen, we're going to keep interest rates low. What does that mean? Oh, we're going to keep money really cheap so the Ponzi game could continue to be played. And when I say the global Ponzi scheme, I'm not saying that lightly. I'm repeating the words from the king of Ponzi, Bernie Madoff, February 27th, New York Magazine, an article that was done by a tape recording, telephone recording, where Madoff said the two things that popped out in my mind in this other worthless article about how sorry Bernie is and blah, blah, blah. The two things that stuck out were that he said the game is rigged. He learned that early on when he went to Wall Street, that it was a club and the game was rigged. And the number two thing he said, the U.S. is nothing more than one big Ponzi scheme. I believe Bernie. And so the Ponzi scheme is they're keeping risk low. They're letting the game continue to be played. So with money being cheap, the world was freaking out. The equity market spoke. But now Obama, he got, you know, this Bojangles, man. He hit the stage dancing, and you saw all the prostitutes out there. Bowing, scraping. I can't watch CNN anymore. I can't watch MSNBC anymore. I can't watch the nightly news anymore. It's an insult to anybody's thinking intelligence. These people, as I said, the media in the United States are nothing more than prostitutes. The only difference is this time you pay for it and you don't get a happy ending.
Well, exactly. You've got people on the White House lawn chanting USA, USA, because they supposedly found this guy holed up in a house in Pakistan. Meanwhile, the number one global financial terrorist, Mr. Ben Bernanke, continues to launch his sustained terror attack against the US dollar. As you mentioned, last week we hit a three-year low against the Swiss franc. I mean, you've got the price of oil going up. Even though it's kind of flat, oil over the last month is kind of flat, doesn't mean the prices at the pump are going to go down. Every time I visit the petrol station, it's gone up again, no matter what the price of oil's doing. But we've got that, we've got inflation skyrocketing. But, I mean, even the European Central Bank has raised their rates. They held off yesterday, but they've raised them. Are we ever going to see the Fed raise the interest rates, Gerald, or are they just going to continue to devalue the greenback out of existence even as everybody rushes to the exit?
Yeah, they're going to keep devaluing the dollar. That's exactly what they're doing. And, of course, the debt is getting cheaper to be paid off as the dollar becomes more devalued. Let's make this really clear. What were the practical consequences of killing, if they did, Osama bin Laden? I don't believe a thing, you know. And they threw him in the ocean, you know. What do they call the mafia and fit him with some cement shoes? You know, what is he, sleeping with the fishes? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. You know, oh, we can't show the photos, and who's going to believe him anyway? But what did it do? We're still losing the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. The unemployment rate just went up again to 9% in the U.S., and there's no end in sight over in Europe. Portugal, Spain, Ireland, Greece, Italy, one after another, they're going to either go into recession and depression. And as you mentioned out, Trichet just held back in raising interest rates again because they're afraid to raise them. They raise interest rates, the global Ponzi scheme collapses. Did it do anything to reverse the failing real estate market? No. This thing is nothing more than theater, just like 9/11. What they did following 9/11 was they lowered interest rates to 46-year lows because the white shoe boys were taking a beating from the dot-com bubble burst in March of 2000, just several months before.
Now, I mean, anyone with two brain cells to rub together can figure out that the economic policies of the Fed, of this administration and the one before it, leading to basically the end of America as a global economic superpower. We had the IMF a couple of weeks ago even come out and put a date on it, 2016. Gerald, why on the one hand are they launching all these wars for political hegemony? You know, Libya being the latest example, cost them over $1 billion in the first week alone. Now we've got articles that it was $3 trillion to capture bin Laden. I mean, why are they launching these wars when simultaneously they're allowing the country's economic base to rot from within?
Because there's sociopaths and psychopaths. It's because of what General Dwight D. Eisenhower, five-star general, two-term Republican president, supreme commander of the Allied forces, warned the American people as he was leaving office that the military-industrial complex has taken over the nation. And it has. They've robbed us of the genius of our scientists, the sweat of our labors, and the future of our children, just like he said. And look what's going on now. Now it's even worse than that. It's the military intelligence slash industrial complex. We just saw the revolving door opened when they're taking General Petraeus after losing again in Afghanistan, failing his way in Afghanistan, now being slated for CIA director. So look at the people. If someone was to do a psychological profile on them, they would come in between most politicians, somewhere ranging between psychopath and sociopath. Look at this guy that you have on CNN now, prime time, Elliot Spitzer. You want to look at a sociopath? You can't put a better label on it. Here's a cat that passes the John Law in New York when he's governor. If you get caught with a hooker, you get time, you get busted. This guy gets caught with $1,000 a night hookers. And what does he do? He brings his wife out onto the stage, and like a little weenie, he cries, "Oh, I'm sorry. You're sorry, guy? I'm sorry I got caught." And what do? They reward him with his own television show. I mean, do you need any more evidence to see that what's going on here when they say that politics is nothing more than show business for ugly people? Tune in CNN.
It's a sick society, and in a sick society, I mean, the psychopaths get rewarded with the money and the fame, and they're promulgated and put up there as the example as to how other Americans should live their lives, which is why people are, you know, get into the habit of screwing each other and think that they're going to get ahead in life when it's a complete fable. And I mean, people like that are perfectly illustrate, you know, that concept. But I want to talk about this jobs data today. In April 2010, the ever-trustworthy Vice President Joe Biden assured us that the Obama administration would create 250,000 to 500,000 jobs a month every month. This jobs data today is being celebrated, you know, like it's some amazingly positive announcement. Even though the official unemployment figure, and I say official, is at 9%, because of course we know the real figure is far higher. In fact, we had the report last week where fewer than 45% of Americans actually have a job today. Now, Gerald, in reference to your first Great War of the 21st Century piece recently for the Trends Journal, this job situation, this unemployment, can you explain where it's leading to and how soon we can expect the outcome of it to hit home in America?
Well, look what's going on also, what the administration said back when they passed the so-called Stimulus Recovery Act in 2009. They said that by now unemployment would be 7%. So, of course, they were way off on that. But you look, Paul, look around the world and what's gone on, whether it's Tunisia, Egypt, Libya, you name the country, Bahrain, Yemen, underlying a lot of this. And, of course, Libya is a different case in the sense that it's also been provoked by NATO. But in by and large, and in Europe, you're seeing the same thing. Who are the protesters? They're young people. What's the unemployment rate in Spain for people between the ages of 18 and 26? well, around 50%. Greece, same thing. Look in the U.S. What they're not adding on to the unemployment rolls are all of these young people that are getting out of college and holding university degrees in worthlessness. So now, put it all together. You're educated. Your hormones are raging. You know no limits at that age. And you know the score. The price of everything is going up, and you have a futureless future, and there's corruption at the top. Hey, did you see the other number that just came out today? Great news for the CEOs. They're making those pre-recession level earnings again. The gap between the rich and the poor, for example, in the United States is the widest of any of the industrialized nations. When I was a young man and into the workforce, the gap between the CEO and the average worker was about 35, 40 to 1. Now it's around 500 to 1. So here's the deal. You take to the streets. That's what's behind all of this. It has nothing to do with autocracy or democracy or monarchy. It has to do with when the money stops flowing down to the man on the street, the blood starts flowing in the streets.
We'll be back after the break with Gerald Salente, trendsresearch.com. Taking your calls, 800-259-9231. This is the Alex Jones Show live. Steve Watson, Aaron Dykes, Alex Jones, Steve Pachenik, all coming up in the second half of the show. But don't go anywhere. We'll be taking your calls with Gerald Salente. Stay tuned.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show. Because there's a war on for your mind.
Welcome back. It's The Alex Jones Show with me, Paul Joseph Watson, filling in for Alex today. And we're joined by Gerald Salente, trendsresearch.com. Of course, he's the publisher of The Trends Journal. We'll be going to your calls shortly at 800-259-9231. Gerald has kindly agreed to stay with us for an extra 20 minutes or so to take your calls. Gerald, I just wanted to give you a minute to tell people how they can subscribe to the Trends Journal at trendsresearch.com.
Just go to trendsresearch.com and click on the photo of the Trends Journal. It's the first great war, Paul, of the 21st century has begun. When all else fails, they lead you to war. And that's where we're headed to. It's just as people could be inept not to believe the great Osama bin Laden lie, they have to be brain dead to see where they're leading us. It's one war after another. Obama took us to war against Libya, as did Sarko the American in France, and that little weenie Cameron over there in the UK, without ever asking the people. That's how quick you go to war. And then you add in the terrorism wild card, false flag or not, and you see it happening. So we're warning people that they better take precautionary measures now because the war drums are beating.
And I mean, you predicted it. I remember at prisonplanet.com back in 2008, I was writing articles about your prediction of these tax revolts coming and these riots, and that's exactly how it unfolded in Europe. And of course, America is the next stepping stone. We currently have widespread unrest in the Middle East. So basically, half the globe has been inflamed with these riots. So, you know, we'd be naive to think that they're not going to spread even further. Just a quick one that I wanted to get your take on. Oil lost about 9% yesterday. Gold got hammered. The euro's getting battered again today. They're talking about a bloodbath for commodities. Is this any kind of fundamental shift, or is it merely a kind of correction to the general trend?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm still bullish on gold because gold is a safe haven, and I've made this very clear over many, many interviews, that I had some silver, 80% in gold. And yes, the commodities, you know, there's a lot going on here, because if this world economy is going to slow down the way I believe it's going to, yes, the supply and demand ratio is going to change. However, by the devaluation of the dollar, the commodity prices stay high because, as you well know, many of these commodities are dollar-based. But I do think that the silver unwinding, considering that the Chicago Mercantile Exchange had increased margins by, what, 84% within just a couple of weeks or days, you know, that's going to put a damper on things, on silver particularly, for a while. But that's our forecast. And I also want to mention that although Europe is going to be the next one to fall, by the way, the next domino, and the only thing that's holding it back over there is that the Europeans, unlike the Middle East and North Africa, are still living under the illusion that they have a democracy. So they think they're going to make the changes at the ballot box. Oh, yeah, sure. You know, you've heard me say it before. It's like voting for the Gambinos or the Bananos, you know, by going and voting for one of the major parties. So that's going to forestall things a little bit. But back in the USA, as I mentioned, the people are snooky stupid. They're junk food fattened and prescription drug addicted. So they're not going to be fighting. You know, people say, you know, where's the fight in America? They become wussies. I mean, these aren't mommy's boys. They're soccer mommy's boys.
Stay there, Gerald Salente. We'll be right back with your calls. Alex Jones Show Live. Stay tuned.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Second hour of the Alex Jones Show Live. Paul Joseph Watson, editor and writer for PrisonPlanet.com, filling in for Alex, who will return to the show later in the next hour. Just a note on the commodity thing before we go to your calls with Gerald Salente of Trends Research Institute. I mean, back in 2008 and 2009, we got this explosion of adverts in America and in the UK. You know, sell your useless gold and silver for cash, while simultaneously in places like China, the government actually came out and encouraged their population to buy silver and gold. And I was in China recently, last month, in Shanghai, and basically on every street corner there's a huge gold shop selling gold and silver. I mean, the demand in China has gone absolutely nuts, and this correction we've had over the past few days, I think, is exactly that, because the demand in China and India, judging from everything I've seen, is just basically through the roof. Sean in Texas, you're on the air with Gerald Salente. Go ahead.
Howdy. Real quick, first off, it's a privilege to speak to you, Mr. Salente.
Thank you.
My question is, please describe as best as you can, not the things that have already been happening, because I see so many things happening, because I listen to you a lot, but describe the most reliable combination of events that you think that we could possibly or reasonably expect to see, say, maybe a week or even the day before the final collapse of the U.S. dollar, and maybe when hyperinflation kicks in.
It's really, you know, timing is really, I've been at this over 30 years. Timing is really tough. There are so many wild cards, and that's what I would look for, a wild card event. It's just like one morning you woke up and all of a sudden, or one night you heard on, if you were watching a ball game, that they killed Osama bin Laden. As I mentioned, the whole context of what was going on changed. So you don't know. And the other thing you can't tell is that the scheme's undreamed of. For example, who would have known that the people, when they finally showed us the minutes, or that the Fed minutes of who went to the Fed discount window, that most of the countries would have been foreign nations? You know, if anybody has any doubts about the New World Order, all you have to do is look at that one. You can see who got most of the money. It was foreign banks. So you don't know these things. So it's very hard to put a timetable on it. Who would have known that the Federal Reserve was doing $20 trillion with a T of backdoor deals in 2009 and 2010 to keep the Ponzi scheme going, and money going to hedge funds, General Electric, and to banks around the world? So the timing is tough.
Thanks for the call.
And having said that, as a close combat martial artist, and we have a wonderful story in there, by the way, from Brad Steiner, one of the foremost close combat masters in the United States, and he has the different codes, the real code levels, colors, not the BS from the TSA. But you should always be on yellow alert, and most people are on white; they're on blank. And that's what we're saying, because right now what we're saying is prepare for the worst. If the worst doesn't happen right away, what did you lose? But if the worst happens and you're not prepared, you lose everything.
Thanks for the call. Gerald, you were talking about it's going to come to Europe first. I mentioned the euro getting creamed yesterday and today. This is a breaking news out of Spiegel Online. Greece considers exit from Eurozone. The debt crisis in Greece has taken on a dramatic new twist. Sources with information about the government's actions have informed Spiegel Online that Athens is considering withdrawing from the Eurozone. We're going to get Gerald Salente's take on that breaking news after the break on The Alex Jones Show Live and more of your calls. Stay tuned. It's all live at prisonplanet.tv. Don't go away.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We're back live on The Alex Jones Show, talking with Gerald Salente of the Trends Research Institute and taking your calls. We've said all along at prisonplanet.com that the euro is only as strong as its weakest link. Of course, we had the riots last year, which pummeled the euro down to the lowest level seen in years. And now we have this breaking news out of Spiegel Online. Greece considers exit from Eurozone. The common currency area's finance ministers and representatives of the European Commission are holding a secret crisis meeting in Luxembourg on Friday night. That's tonight, with talk of Athens considering withdrawing entirely from the Eurozone. Gerald, you predicted this literally about 10 minutes ago. You said it was coming to Europe first. Is this the kind of domino effect that could eventually kill the euro, basically?
Absolutely. And it's not only going to kill the euro, it's going to take the world to war. You know, they teach us as little kids, you know, all wars are started over religion. No, they're not. You know, you go back to the Bible. You know, it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And that's what's going on here. You have money junkies. They're losing dough, and they want the people to pay for their fix. And so what we're seeing, again, we had predicted the fall of the euro when they established the euro. We said that it was going to work for a while as the new trend of globalization caught fire, but it would fall apart because of the inequality of the nations involved in it. So again, it was a trend that you can see coming, but of course nobody wanted to believe it when times were fat. And now what we're going, and another one, Paul, as you well know, they had the vote in Finland a couple of weeks ago where the true Finns won. And they're very anti-euro and anti-bailout. And in order for these bailouts to happen, all of the countries have to agree upon it. We're looking again. These are not one-offs. You put all the pieces together, and it's leading us to the first great war of the 21st century. This is the kind of, it looks like it's an economic issue, it's a war issue. And, oh, by the way, if you want to look at some more psychopaths, look at the Greeks. Look at the money that they're dumping into defense. Yeah, like Greece could defend themselves. It's money. It's the dirty game. It's kind of like listening to the news yesterday and saying that the United States is going to take the Libyan government's money and give it to the rebels. No, it's not. What they're saying is the United States, a bunch of the criminals over there, stole the money, and now they're doing dirty deals with another group of bandits.
Derek in California, you're on the air. Gerald Salente, go ahead.
All right, thank you for having me on, and I appreciate all the work. And I just have a quick comment and a question. I just want to say people getting to the point where we really need to start taking to the streets and just informing everyone you come across. because it's just getting a little bit ridiculous with them trying to pull this latest Bin Laden thing off. And I see people, a lot of people are buying into it, but more people are really, I mean, with that thing in the sea, them dumping them into the sea, that's just nail in the coffin. Everybody's just really like, hey, what's going on? So I'd say just let people know. Let people know Bin Laden's history. Let people know about all this false flags and everything. And I would just really encourage everybody to do that. Now, just a quick question. I've been hearing a lot of talk about, you know, nuclear wars or whatever. There could be an attack over here in the United States. And I just wanted to get both of your takes, Paul and Gerald, on how serious do you think this threat is? Do you really think that they'll do something like that? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but I just want to know, how serious do you think that threat is, and where do you think they would attack, you know, if they were to do that?
Well, first of all, Derek, I totally agree with you. People have to stand up and speak out and forget this politically correct crap and say what they believe and understand that, you know, it's we the people. And that's the only way things are going to change. And I also have to say morals count. And values change, but morals don't. And everyone has to ask themselves, are they living by the golden rule? And I make it very clear that for us to succeed, we have to be in shape physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And there's that old Buddhist saying, when the student's ready, the teacher appears. The students have to get ready. To answer your question, if my name was Muammar Gaddafi, and they just killed my kid and keep bombing my country, you'd think I'd want to get even? And in these days, in one of my books, by the way, Trends 2000, came out in the mid-90s, I wrote about all of the breakup of the Soviet Union and all of the nuclear weaponry and suitcase-sized nukes that were available were on the black market. Yeah, boom goes London, boom Paris. How about a dirty bomb here? How about some biological warfare there? Or a suitcase-sized nuke here? Of course, they're taking us to war. It's not going to be like World War II. You heard the lines before. The generals are always fighting the last war. And by the way, when you look at the generals, look at the picture of that phony setup of the White House, ostensibly another lie that was retracted about them watching the mission take place. And look at that general on his computer. This guy couldn't lead me across the street. I bet he can't run around the block. So these are the kind of people that are leading us and making decisions. Nothing is going to stop it from happening. Look at the immigrants pouring over the border. You think they're going to stop some new millennium terrorists from seeping over our borders? So we're saying it's going to happen, whether false flag or not.
Well, I mean, that's the whole point. In some senses, they don't even need to conduct false flag. When you kill people's children, you drone attack Pakistan and Yemen and kill people at a wedding or at a restaurant, they're going to rile enough, you know, they're going to rile up enough people for them to take their own revenge. And then, of course, they've always got the false flag in the back pocket. George in Indiana, you're on the air with Gerald Salenti. Go ahead, Gerald.
Before we go ahead, I want to just comment on what you said. And what they do when the United States kills somebody that kills Americans, they call it justice. So maybe that the people that got killed want to extract some justice.
Well, precisely. I mean, a million dead Iraqis, that's not an act of terror. But, you know, planting a dud bomb in New York with this facade guy completely handled by the Patsy Al-Awlaki, who's visiting the Pentagon 3 weeks after 9/11. That's the biggest threat that we face when we've got this US military industrial complex literally strafing half the globe. I mean, it's amazing. George in Indiana, you're on the air with Gerald Salenti. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. Gerald, I'm in central Indiana, and I'd like to know what kind of advice you would give somebody that had mature timber here in Indiana. What would be your advice?
Mature timber.
Mature, you know, wood.
Yeah, wood. Yeah, I know. You know, I'm trying to think, and I see, you know, the economy declining, and I just don't see growth happening. I would say that is it of a very high quality?
We're one of the few states that has hardwoods, good hardwoods, and I was just wondering, if the dollar does completely collapse, is the timber going to be worth anything, or is it going to collapse along with the dollar and the growth and everything?
Well, you're in the business. How have timber prices done since the real estate bubble burst?
Oh, it's not good at all. But, if this is a trend, if this is showing what's going to happen, I mean, in the 80s, it was a wonderful, you could harvest your timber and make a whole lot of money. But there's still money out there to be made. But I'm just wondering, is it better to hold on to the timber and wait through all of this trouble? Or should you get your money now and put it into something that is tangible?
Well, I'm not allowed to give it financial advice, but sitting in on it, I don't know a lot. I have to think about this more. But right off the top of my head, I would say get rid of some of it.
Okay.
That would be,
and isn't it the case that these kind of things can be used in a barter system that would inevitably ensue if the dollar collapsed?
Yeah, it's too tough, you know. It's these things don't go that smoothly. And of course, the other opportunity is, depending on the grade and the quality, is export. If that's the real opportunity, because this is who the cheap dollar is really helping. It's helping exporters. So if you could export this stuff, I would say that would be the best opportunity for me.
Okay, thanks for the call, George. Raphael in Virginia, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Shalom. Hi. Thank you for receiving my call. First-time caller. Something you had mentioned earlier that kind of has me questioning. You mentioned the United States as a financial superpower. Is it not the case that the United States is more of a clearinghouse post-Second World War because the other countries were trying to rebuild their infrastructure, and also the United States had a jump on that based on the infrastructure, the post-Depression infrastructure buildup for the war?
Oh, absolutely. You're 100% right. But the United States was also in a position to keep that going, but we squandered our future. And when I wrote my book, Trend Tracking, in 1988, from that point on, the United States had squandered over $13 trillion in unnecessary defense fighting the Cold War. So, yeah, we're not the economic superpower. I don't believe I've ever said that. But we did have the opportunity to become that, to maintain that, for the very reasons that you said. Europe and Japan were rebuilding. But again, we squandered our future.
That in mind also, with the United States selling itself after 1935 to the Federal Reserve, in essence, living off their IOUs, could they actually build without the consent of the debtor?
Stay there, Gerald. We're hitting a break now, but we'll get your answer on the other side on the Alex Jones Show Live. Alex coming up, Steve Watson, Aaron Dyke, Steve Pachenik. Don't go away. Stay tuned at prisonplanet.tv.
We've got it.
This transmission is coming to you.
It's the Alex Jones Show Live, May 6, 2011. We're talking to Gerald Celente, trendsresearch.com. Gerald, the first great war of the 21st century, final comments on that and how it will manifest itself as we go forward.
You're going to start seeing more governments being overthrown, riots in the streets. They're not going to be able to stop it, particularly in Europe. As you pointed out, what's going on in Greece now. You know what they call austerity measures? Here's an austerity measure for you. We're going to lower the minimum wage. We're going to really rack the people down at the bottom. We're going to cut services, and anything you get, Paul, we're going to charge you more for. Oh, and those pensions and benefits, we're going to cut those too. That university degree you have, it's worthless, but if you want one, it's going to cost you even more. Oh, and another thing, we're going to keep raising your taxes because the white shoe boys don't want to take a haircut. That's the language they use. They don't want to lose any money, so you have to pay for their losses. Oh, and one more thing. We're going to raise the retirement age till after you die. so the people are angry. You've heard me say it before. When people lose everything and have nothing left to lose, they lose it. And people are starting to lose it. So you're going to start seeing governments topple, more fascism. Fascism has already come to America. I love it. They're worried about Al-Qaeda hitting the trains. What trains? The wagon trains? Anybody been on Amtrak lately? You know, welcome to the 1800s. You know, so this is what they're going to do. More fear.
More fear. And they said they were going to target trains that go over 500 miles an hour in the United States, which don't exist, as you just said. Gerald Celente, really appreciate your time today. Hope to talk to you again soon. Website is trendsresearch.com. Thanks a lot, Gerald.
Hey, thank you.
There goes Gerald Celente. Coming up in the next segment, Steve Watson, and then, of course, Aaron Dykes. Alex Jones will be calling in again from the road. One final point I wanted to hit on. We had the debates yesterday in South Carolina with the presumptive Republican candidates. 6 months ago, in November 2010, I wrote an article saying that only Ron Paul can beat Barack Obama. And now this has been proven by a new CNN poll released, which was conducted over the weekend. Quote, who does best against Obama? Paul, the congressman from Texas, who also ran as a libertarian in 1988 and who is well-liked by many in the Tea Party movement, trails the president by only 7 points in a hypothetical general election showdown. Huckabee trails by 8 points, with Romney down 11 points to Obama. So, I mean, Paul is the Republicans' best chance of beating Obama, but instead the media, after the debates last night, lavishes all this praise on these wolves in sheep's clothing, these people who mimic Ron Paul's populist talking points, but then try to pose as tough guys by, you know, advocating torture and war. I mean, let's have a test of faith. You know, let's ask people like Paul Lenti and this Fed insider that Fox News was in a worship fest with, Herman Cain. Let's ask them if they're prepared to be waterboarded to, you know, see if it's torture or not. Everyone who's agreed to do that has come out of it and said that it's torture and it's wrong. And so they're trying to push these rhino candidates, these people that advocate torture, these people that advocate Obama's disastrous cap and tax policy. They're trying to push him in order to sideline Ron Paul by making out that torture is now the American way, and only by, you know, advocating torture can you be a tough war leader in these difficult years. So they're basically trying to tie the debates that occurred last night to this bin Laden fable. And they're also doing it by making out that Obama is soft on torture. You know, none of the Bush administration people who directed the torture, committed war crimes, were prosecuted by Obama. A few of the underlings were, which is why you had this phony confrontation yesterday at Ground Zero with the wife of the 9/11 pilot, where she basically chastised Obama, you know, for not stopping Holder from prosecuting these few underlings for torture. So basically, they're trying to push a GOP neocon who's going to be able to defeat Ron Paul with the media giving him all this bluster about how he's a tough war leader. And then they're going to try and use that neocon to defeat Obama. But as I documented in the article I wrote 6 months ago, all these people, Gingrich, Romney, Palin, Paul Lenti, the lot of them, are universally abhorred by the American people. They've been losing their approval ratings at the same pace as Obama himself. And as this new poll proves, only Ron Paul can beat President Barack Obama. And that's why the Ron Paul revolution is going to move forward at great momentum in the coming months. We'll be back with Steve Watson, Aaron Dykes, and Alex Jones. It's the Alex Jones Show live at PrisonPlanet.tv. Stay tuned. I read the news today. It's the Alex Jones Show. It's Friday, the 6th of May, 2011. I'm Steve Watson, filling in for Alex, who's coming up live once again on this broadcast within the next 10 to 15 minutes. In the third hour, we've got Aaron Dykes coming up. He's been barricaded in his secret bunker again, doing some more deep research. So it's always interesting to get his take on current events.
Right now, I'm just going to hit some news, starting with this. Article by Kurt Nimmo, Feds issue terror advisory to justify police state, distract from Osama fable. Now, this is about, obviously, Osama bin Laden's fake raid once again. But the fallout of this domestically, Nimmo writes, the government is exploiting the Obama death fantasy as an excuse to expand the police state grid in the United States and acclimatize the populace to the presence of militarized cops and unconstitutional random searches in mass transit hubs. And this is about how the government today has issued an advisory warning that there could be an imminent giant terror attack on all the rail networks. And where have they gleaned this intelligence from? Of course, from Osama bin Laden's computer hard drive on his laptop in his student squat flat. I'm sorry, his million-dollar compound mansion in Pakistan. Obviously, he kept on this laptop all his dastardly plots that he was planning, presumably with coordinated shortcuts on his desktop, helpfully titled Giant Train Plot, or How to Blow Up Planes with Toothpaste and Shampoo. This is what we've apparently gleaned from his laptop when we did the raid on him. Let's quote an NBC report about this today. An advisory has been sent to law enforcement officials asking them to be vigilant about train security based on information uncovered at Osama bin Laden's compound after his death, reports NBC New York. According to NBC News, US officials say they have not found reference to any specific plots. Instead, they say they found what they call aspirational items. Don't know what they are, but events Al-Qaeda operatives were interested in trying to make happen. So again, nothing specific here. We have no information, quote, we have no information of any imminent terrorist threat to the US rail sector, but wanted to make our partners aware of the alleged plotting, Department of Homeland Security spokesman Matt Chandler said in a statement. We want to stress that this alleged Al-Qaeda plotting is based on initial reporting, which is often misleading or inaccurate and subject to change. So essentially, they've got no specific details of any plot to blow up trains whatsoever, no specific cities. They found it on Osama bin Laden's laptop. But, you know, to hell with it, let's just announce it publicly. It covers all the bases that we want to cover. Let's go back to the article. Material supposedly gleaned from Osama's house in Pakistan reveals an operation against trains at unspecific locations in the United States on the 10th anniversary of 9/11. The advisory claims Al-Qaeda planned to tip a train by tampering with the rails so that the train would fall off the track at a valley or a bridge. According to the government, additional material mentions a desire to target mass transit hubs, an interest long familiar to law enforcement because trains were targeted in Spain, the UK and India. And it goes on, and we've got a representative of New York, Steve King, who has repeated the same thing over again, that there was information that it's going to be on the anniversary of 9/11. So what's been the response to this in New York? It's been to have squads of armed, militarized police roaming about the train stations and the subways, unconstitutional random searches in the train stations, more TSA Viper teams checking old men and pregnant women to see if they've got tickets to get on the trains, and just basically more police state, the pumping of the police state. We've got a couple of clips here that I like to play to illustrate this. The first is from PIX11 News, where they find a bunch of people walking about the train station to say how great they think the cops in camo gear are and how great the machine guns are. Have we got that clip ready?
Sparked fresh security fears here in New York. The city is on high alert, fearful of possible revenge or retaliatory attacks. As a precaution, places like Grand Central Terminal behind me here tonight and other sensitive locations in our area, including water taxis and ferries, security there has been noticeably stepped up.
Remember, see something, say something. Thank you, and be safe.
On the surface, it looks like a typical New York City rush hour. Hustle, bustle, harried commuters. But all it takes is a glance to notice the stepped-up security heightened after the killing of Osama bin Laden.
I've just noticed that there's a lot more police and a lot more army personnel around, which is a good sign.
Taking no chances, part of Midtown was briefly evacuated. Cops checking out a suspicious package today in the subway near 34th Street and 8th Avenue. Sources tell PIX 11 News an unattended black suitcase with the picture of Osama bin Laden on it was discovered on a subway platform. Police resolved the situation without incident. What have you noticed security-wise?
Oh, well, I've noticed the soldiers around. I've seen police with the security the dogs.
They're trained to protect people. So, I mean, whether they're here because they feel like there's an actual threat or because they're just here, if something were to happen, they are here, and that's what's important, and they're trained to react.
They're here, and it does make me feel safer that they're around.
Penn Station, Times Square, Bryant Park, Grand Central, Port Authority, the Financial District, just some of the iconic locations and transport hubs getting extra security attention tonight, even as officials warn right now there are no specific or credible threats against the city. Law enforcement officials say their biggest concern is not a sophisticated, coordinated attack like 9/11. Rather, they're being extra watchful of a lone wolf attack, the kind like Faisal Shahzad tried to pull off, the convicted terrorist who tried to blow up that car bomb in an SUV in Times Square last year. Reporting live tonight from Grand Central Terminal, I'm Peter Thorne, PIX 11 News right now. Let's get over to Marvin Scott.
So there you have it once again. Of course, they're doing this to reinvigorate the domestic police state, and they're pushing this sort of soft target lone wolf aspect precisely because they've got no credible threats at all. And you watch that clip and you ask yourself, why are the cops walking around in camouflage gear? Because they're not in the jungle, they're not in the desert, they're in a railway station. Obviously, it's to generate this kind of is to normalize this kind of vigorous show of force, this police state. And we've got another clip coming up now from CBS, which is even, you know, it's even more worse propaganda, where they explain sooner or later all these soft target locations, such as train stations, department stores, will have security checkpoints that you'll have to walk through just to get into them. And, that you know, we all need to watch each other and keep each other safe. Have we got that clip lined up?
Terrorism experts say a retaliation attack for Osama bin Laden's death is inevitable. Terrorists are expected to aim for more vulnerable soft targets like shopping malls, even museums. CBS 2's Hazel Sanchez reports.
They are places jam-packed with people, pedestrian malls, shopping centers, and stadiums.
Yeah, I feel safe, but of course, in the back of my head, I know that things can happen.
Counterterrorism expert Yuval Aviv says terrorists seeking revenge for Osama bin Laden's death will turn to attacks less dramatic than the destruction on September 11th, focusing instead on soft targets like hotels, places of worship, and mass transit hubs.
It's easier, less complicated for them to carry out. What they're going to achieve, if they're successful, is to kill as many people as possible.
Security consultant David Bohm says the future could include security checkpoints entering all soft targets, like your local department store. Bohm says even with a police presence, the areas are vulnerable.
The reason they're called soft is because it's so easily accessible to anyone. There has to be security checks for the safety of all people.
Added security is a turnoff for some New Yorkers.
There's a police presence and they search someone with a backpack. Somebody who looks not really suspicious, but it's random. So I would go if that is the case. Not if everyone is being searched.
It's better to be safer than sorry.
Despite the challenges to secure high-volume soft targets like here in Times Square, security experts say one of the best lines of defense already exists and doesn't cost a thing.
We are millions and millions of eyes and ears. We need to assist each other and keep each other safe.
Freedom coming with an increasingly heavy price. In Midtown, Hazel Sanchez, CBS 2 News.
Soft target security is a long-standing practice in Israel, where people and their possessions are carefully examined in many public venues.
Oh, yes, so it's perfectly normal in Israel. So what's the problem? I mean, it's just complete propaganda. I mean, people have become tired of having their freedom stripped away, this show of force, and they've begun to stand up to the, you know, the TSA body scanners, the endless Homeland Security alerts, the telescreens in Walmarts telling you you've got to spy on your neighbours, the see something, say something at football games and sports stadiums, which is a literal Stasi program to get the people to police each other, promoting that sort of subservient mindset that we've all got to be vigilant. And all that is being reinvigorated again after this sort of phony Bin Laden escapade. And right now we've got on the line the one and only Alex Jones, and I'd like to go to Alex and ask him, Alex, have you heard about this big plot to blow up trains and tip them off bridges today?
Absolutely. We knew that this was coming. Obama comes out with a calculated statement that now we're all safe. Just like in a State of the Union, he said, don't worry, you can ride on the new mass transit trains we're going to put in, and you won't have to go through the scanners or be groped. And then people started laughing in the Congress because it's all a big joke. I saw Governor Ridge, and I know I say this every week or so because it's so important, on C-SPAN 8 years ago, in a two-hour meeting with CEOs, saying there will be TSA-trained local goons, local federal auxiliary, at every building, every grocery store, every shopping mall, hardened federal checkpoints on the highways, random checkpoints, and they're going to take blood, they're going to take tissue swabs out of the cheek, they're going to stick their hands down your pants. This is about all of America and the Western world being a prison. This is about all of us being told to line up. England, as you know, has the mobile body scanner vans. They're now getting those here in the United States. This is all socially engineered. This was all being worked on by the big defense contractors pre-9/11. And as the Eisenhower warned us about the military-industrial complex, in any third world country, it's normally the military, the corrupt leaders of it, that take over the nation. Well, here it's that whole defense complex owned by the big offshore banks. And it's very elementary. They stage the terror attacks with their patsies. It doesn't matter. There's a huge history of Bin Laden in Sudan arrested, and Clinton didn't want him, or then them trying to use Bin Laden's people to kill Gaddafi. And that's BBC Associated Press from the 2000 and what was it?
2002, I think.
Yeah, 2002. And then people are like, ah, ha, ha. And then Al-Qaeda's back attacking Libya again. They attacked the Serbs. But I want to go through a list of things here because I want people to understand what we're facing. Going back to Governor Ridge. Governor Ridge is so arrogant last year, he put out a book bragging that they put out fake terror alerts for political purposes. Ari Fleischer, to cover his hind end, 3 years before that, in a press briefing, admitted that they were doing that for political purposes. I mean, this is all admitted. It's just like Cass Sunstein admits they want to shut down free speech and want an internet kill switch. This is, and writes papers on it. That's what's so frustrating about the ignorant people out there who want to remain being ignorant. 99% of what we tell you, ladies and gentlemen, is on record by them. It's not Alex Jones that says the CIA put out fake Bin Laden videos. They admit it. That's what's so frustrating. When you live this, you're informed, and you're not somebody in the lazy general public or even in lazy government who can just hear this and, like a child, decide that they're going to say it isn't real. Now, let me run through a laundry list here. We know Al-Qaeda was created and controlled by the criminal element that runs our government and other governments. We know they use them as a pretext to launch wars. We know they use them as a pretext to have domestic police state crackdowns and to make what government corporations do secret from us, we the people, while they rob us through government control that's setting up monopolies for them. But clearly, we have said that as the economy implodes, as they launch these new wars, that they would then bring in stage terror. And this death of Bin Laden is a psychological resurrection of him. Then they introduced the four new Bin Ladens, three of which on record trained in the U.S., two of which on record absolutely worked for the federal government at the highest levels of black ops. And they're so arrogant, it's just admitted everywhere, but still it's not kosher to point that out. So they're rolling them out just like they did pre-9/11. I'm seeing the exact same preconditioning. So maximum, total red alert. Everyone, and in fact, I'm going to ask Aaron Dykes to do this next hour. We need to get the White House number, the Congress number, the switchboard, launch Operation Expose the Government Terrorist Part 2. I haven't done this in 10 years, since July of 2001. Maximum total alert, ladies and gentlemen. You must call them. We need to get an article out today or tomorrow by one of the great researchers there, pointing all of this out with the phone numbers, and call them. We need links in the articles to all these White House advisors like Robert Shapiro and the Financial Times of London saying a terror attack would sure help us. It'd sure be great. Obama's got to get in Oklahoma City or 9/11 so he can get his New World Order. We need all those Republican neocons that wrote editorials saying how great September 11th was. See, they're all communicating with each other like we're too stupid to see it, begging for it, calling for it. And here's my main point. I want everybody to hear me. And I'm begging everyone to listen to me very, very carefully. And I'm going to go right through till 5 after next hour. Then we'll bring Aaron Dykes in. And if Steve can hold over and has any comments with Aaron, he's welcome to. But I want to point this out right now. And I want people to listen to me very, very carefully. All that stands between the New World Order, just taking all the pension funds, launching World War III with Pakistan. They've got nukes. Every analyst says it will probably trigger World War III, not may. This is also part of framing Pakistan. It always has a geopolitical, external foreign policy element than the domestic policy. They like full spectrum win-win-wins. I want everyone to listen to me very carefully right now. Please take this to heart. All that stands between free humanity, our children, the innocent people, the folks on fixed incomes, people on Social Security, people that have paid into public and private pensions. The globalists have done this in every other country they've fully taken over. The only thing that stands between us and real hot tyranny, I mean the arrest wagons going around, the FEMA camps being filled, mushroom clouds, the only thing that stands between us and that is we the people look in the mirror. If you look at the mainstream media, hundreds of newspapers, prestigious establishment magazines are lowering their guns on us from their pile of cess and firing at Infowars.com, Alex Jones, Dr. Pechenik. We are the resistance. When we come back, we're going to talk about this. You are the resistance, folks. You are the resistance. Don't underestimate the power that you have. We'll be right back with Steve Watson, Dr. Steve Pechenik coming up, Aaron Dykes. I have Key Intel straight ahead.
As the globalist interests that have usurped our governments target Pakistan with more drone attacks today, we're talking the beefing of the domestic police state, and the way I see it is the danger now is that Bin Laden's officially gone, so they're going to attempt to elevate another patsy into the public mindset by, you know, staging another attack and blaming it on maybe, you know, Al-Awlaki, the guy who dined at the Pentagon after 9/11, or, you know, Gadan, the Mossad agent turned hardcore Islamist. Let's go back to Alex Jones. And Alex, what's your take on that? What do you think about that?
Well, I want to be 100% clear with people. The globalists have clearly made the decision to roll out this new fear campaign, introduce new boogeymen to the public, and try to reinvoke, as President Obama said Sunday night, the feeling we had after 9/11. Well, what was that feeling? Nuke everybody, take all my rights away, stick your hands down my pants. It was a people ready to be robbed. It's very simple. These outside globalist interests come in, take over the government, wrap themselves in the American flag. The good old boys riding around with their U.S. Army veteran sticker on their car are good people. They just can't bring themselves to admit just how criminal these elements are, and that they're using outside elements as a pretext to get them to basically rebrand American values that it's not land of the free, home of the brave. It's land of TSA checkpoints in the mall groping your small children. And so they've been quietly rolling all of this out, training everyone to become accustomed to having federally authorized goons come up, ask you questions, take you away, question you for the next step that will be mass arrest of U.S. citizens. And at that point, they also know that a small percentage will fight back. They will then be called terrorists, and they will then be called American white al-Qaeda. You don't hand over your ranch, You don't let the CPS take your kids, you're white al-Qaeda. You don't let them take your pension fund, you're white al-Qaeda. And we have all the internal government documents. We've published them. It's never been about al-Qaeda. It's never been about Anwar al-Awlaki and bin Laden. And I just want people out there to understand, this is the crossroads. Globally, they're trying to launch an attack on Pakistan and frame them. We predicted this months ago. Domestically, it's about expanding the police state. Right as everything collapses, they don't want to take the blame for what they have done consolidating power. They want to destroy us economically with their Ponzi scheme. You notice, Salente was saying no one could have guessed that the money was all going to offshore banks. Well, a year and a half ago, I put out Fall the Republic. You can play the ad for Fall the Republic out a year and a half ago. That's almost a year and a half before it was released. I said in the film, the offshore criminal cartel that took all the money from the bailout. That's because I've studied these people. It actually wasn't secret that the main owners of the Federal Reserve are the Bank of England and the German Bundesbank. So, of course, it went offshore. That's who owns America through the 1913 takeover. And now they want to own you and your family, so they want to bankrupt you, so you go into receivership. So right when they set up their world government publicly, right when they start really raping you and raising gas prices and devaluing the dollar, right when the euro plunges, right as they have designed all this as just stepping stones towards the new global SDR Bancor currency, right as they do that, out comes the boogeyman to menace everyone into rallying around the flag, which the globalists have captured, very simple, and bowing down to them so they can gang rape us because we are saying protect us from the scary man in the cave who has Superman-like powers. And so here comes the staged terror attack. And remember, you are the resistance listeners. We are the only main voice now fighting them. Thank God we've built up to the point of having millions and millions of great activist people. Get the word out. If you value any of your freedoms, if you don't want to be slaves, you must go to everyone now. You must spread this audio. You must call the White House. You must call all the media and say, do not stage new terror attacks. Do not stage new terror attacks. 9/11 is an inside job. The bin Laden situation is a hoax. And when we come back in 1 minute, I will break down with Steve the evidence of it being a hoax. As we told you Sunday, it's now all been proven.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It's Friday, the 6th of May. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm Steve Watson, webmaster at Infowars.net. I'm here with Alex on the line. We're just discussing the revamp of the domestic police state and the possible dangers that that possesses. And from my perspective, all this comes at a very opportune time for Big Sis and Homeland Security, because just a couple of weeks ago, they announced a complete revamp of their terror alert warning system, whereby they would get rid of the Sesame Street color-coded system under Bush and start, you know, sending you direct alerts on your iPhone and Twitter and Facebook. And basically, that the alerts are going to become unavoidable. Alex, can you speak to that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the whole thing was rolled out. That's, we told people Sunday that the photo of the Situation Room was fake, and Pachinik told them that on Tuesday, and it's been all admitted now, completely fake, no video feed. The whole story's a lie. They add things that change to make you think the general overall lie has some truth to it. Well, we did kill bin Laden, but yeah, he didn't fight back, and yeah, he didn't throw his wife in front of the you know, people, on and on and on. The bottom line is they're a pack of lying criminals. They've lied over and over and over again. And we need to remember that. The mainstream media keeps saying, Alex, is everything a conspiracy? Is everything a government lie? Well, certainly with the 9/11 fable, of course, if 9/11's a lie, the new bin Laden killing is a lie, because the entire thing is a fraud. And it was admitted, mainstream news in the late 90s, that he had total renal failure and another disease on top of it, and couldn't live more than 5 to 6 years. I mean, this is absolute total fiction. And And when Steve Pachinik met Bin Laden back in the mid-'80s, he was very, very sick. And, of course, Pachinik coming up in 30 minutes with Aaron Dykes has broken all that down and is also a medical doctor with two medical degrees. But this is all on record. But I want listeners to understand something. You can see it. All the scripting, the new terror alerts, the TSA with the telescreens going in, all of this is being done with big jumbo screens in public places saying spy on your neighbors, because they're bringing this country into a total depression with inflation because of dollar devaluation in the oil, in the food, and there is going to be restlessness. And so Bin Laden and al-Qaeda is just the cover for the rollout of the high-tech spying police state grid. There's been a full court press in the last year. That's why I said it's coming. With every major professional I know, prominent doctors, lawyers, my father, and then other dentists that he works with being approached at their office and at home saying, please spy on everybody for us. And this has nothing to do with al-Qaeda. They are finding out who will work with them in a total takeover, and they're setting up the Internet kill switch, the Internet ID system. It's all coming down. They're announcing, yes, the cell phones are watching you. Yes, we're going to torture people. Notice how they're saying torture's great. Here's my final point. We need an article about this to point this out to everybody. If torture's so great, why did they kill Bin Laden? Now we learn the order was to kill him. Because they don't want the secrets, even if you believe they really killed him. They didn't want his history with the CIA and all the secrets he's got coming out. They wanted him dead. Even if you believe the official fable, if torture's so great and he was the treasure trove of all intelligence, they should be waterboarding him right now. Folks, none of it makes sense because it's only designed for the lowest common denominator of citizens who barely pay attention or maybe just read the headlines. The people that ran the hoax saying they killed Bin Laden are the same people that staged 9/11. They are the same military-industrial complex. And these childlike people say, well, why would Bush let Obama bring this out later, not himself? Because they all work on the same team at that level, and they wanted to use Bin Laden then, saying he was still alive, to be the boogeyman. Steve Watson, incredible job. Dr. Steve Pachinik coming up next with Aaron Dykes. Steve, thank you for helping ride shotgun here the last 2 days. He does great work over at PrisonPlanet.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. My new video is out, Terrorism's Big Dirty Secret, at Infowars.com, linked in red.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are back on the Alex Jones broadcast. This is Aaron Dykes taking the baton, if you will, from the Watson brothers. We have so much important news going on. Dr. Steve Pachinik is coming up at the half hour. Right now, we want to go to Alex's latest YouTube video, Terrorism's Biggest Dirty Secret, all about the statistics of how undangerous all these supposed terrorists are. Let's cue it as soon as possible.
I'm here today to talk to you about terrorism's big, dirty secret. And no, it's not that governments stage events or finance criminal groups to carry out events so that those governments can crack down on their populations. Everybody knows about false flag, from Gulf of Tonkin to Adolf Hitler and the Reichstag, or Gleiwitz to start the war with Poland in 1939. For the sake of debate, let's just say 9/11 is exactly like they told us. Let's say Gulf of Tonkin was real. Doesn't matter if it's admittedly staged. Let's just say it was real. Let's say the Reichstag was real. Let's say it's all real. It's all real. Bin Laden's assassination is real on May Day, May 1st. It's all real. Everything's true. Government never lies. Government can be trusted and loved and cared about, and the big mega corporations that are not free market but use government to shut down their competition, they can all be trusted. Everything is happiness. Everything is love. Everything is reality when government tells you so. Anyone who questions a government statement or a major corporate statement is a conspiracy theorist. They're a truther. They're a birther. They're a deather. There's a label pre-made for them. Being skeptical is a criminal act. It's outrageous. These people are nuts. They should buy whatever they're told. It's horrible to question. Buy everything. Be gullible. I agree with that. So, let's then talk here about numbers, about facts, and look at terrorism and its big, dirty secret. And I hope you'll look this up for yourself, but all of it is public information. Most of you already know this when you hear it. The big, dirty secret is, even if you buy the official story about terrorism and everything else we're told, and that now they want to have TSA at all the malls and grocery stores sticking their hands down our pants, because after all, we'll put up with their hands down our pants, we'll certainly give them our labor and our tax money, but they're good folks keeping us safe from terrorists. I forgot, well, the border's wide open. Again, I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist and even have critical thinking and question anything they're saying. The point I'm trying to get at here is the big, dirty secret. Are you ready for the big, dirty secret about terrorism? No, it's not that it's false flag. They never stage anything. They're good folks. No, it's something that everybody knows. And it's this. They hype the living daylights out of it. Let's say it's real. On average, less than 20 Americans die a year from terrorism. But the media hypes it up with all this fear and look at them and this hatred and this tribalism, the outsider, and it's used as a distraction from the imploding economy, the illegal wars, all the things that are happening. No one can deny that. I looked it up. On average, over 100 people die a year of honeybee stings from allergic reaction. Hundreds and hundreds die of peanut allergy. Hundreds more of wasp stings. Hundreds and hundreds, close to 1,000 every year, from snake bites. Water moccasins, rattlesnakes, coral snakes. Do you see big terror announcements? The fear, a rattlesnake with a bin Laden beard and a turban. We've got to invade all these countries and go after all these nations because these snakes are killing close to 1,000 people a year. You have a better chance being struck by lightning, dying of a bee sting. You have hundreds and hundreds of times a better chance of dying in a car wreck, over 200,000 a year. Tens of thousands dying from hitting their head in the shower or on the pool. But do they hype it all up? Government cares so much about you. Here's the big secret, the big hoax. Government tells you, man, the government's job is keeping you safe. And we care so much that we're spying on all of you and watching you. And we get the Homeland Security documents, and almost all the spies are focused on gun owners, conservatives, libertarians, landowners, independent people that don't want to be part of the collectivist hive Borg. And so the big dirty secret is it's all a big hoax. If they're actually worried about deaths, they'd be concerned about the over 200,000 deaths a year from faulty prescription drugs, the 300,000+ deaths from mistakes at the hospital. The list goes on and on. No, they don't give a rat's behind about you and your family. They use really junior high or even childish boogeyman parables about scary men in turbans who want to kill you if you don't give your rights up and accept all these new wars. It's so elementary. Since when did Land of the Free, Home of the Brave become a shaking, cowering, Rent and Stimpy chihuahua afraid of the boogeyman? Since when did we say, take all my rights, keep me safe? Since when? And statistically, in the World Almanac, terrorism death for U.S. citizens is way down at the bottom. More people die when they plug in their coffee maker and the tile's wet and they get electrocuted. More people die when a bumblebee stings them. But we've got to change our whole way of life and endless hype and all the hysteria for something that is a vapor, an apparition, a delusion. They are creating irrational fears, and that's the big hoax. That's the big dirty lie. To have us fleeing over the edge of a cliff, running from an enemy that doesn't exist. You know, the British hunt pheasant by having their servants beat the bushes, bang on pots and pans and a wedge, and drive the pheasants out of the woods towards their palatial lords, hunting them with 12-gauge shotguns. And that's what bin Laden and all the rest of it is. The threat isn't Bin Laden. The threat isn't Amir al-Awlaki when he's not hanging out at the CIA. The threat is the beaters beating the Bushes. That's the terrorists. So in a way, they are the threat. They drive you out towards the real threat, the royals lined up with their shotguns, shooting the pheasants that have been driven in fear out to be shot. The wicked fleeth when none pursueth. That's always one of my favorite Bible quotes, and I didn't steal that from True Grit. It's been one of my favorite quotes for years, but I'm glad they used it. So you've been given the big dirty secret. And it's right there for you to go find out for yourself. You've got hundreds of times better chance dying in car wrecks. We still drive cars every day. We still accept the risk. Hundreds of times a better chance dying of bad drug interactions. You still take the prescription drugs. Many, many times better chance of dying from a bumblebee or a wasp or a honeybee. So why do you have this irrational fear? Because deep inside your anthropology, your sociology, you have an archetypal fear of the other tribe coming to enslave you, coming to kill you. And in that is a great truth. In our human development on this planet, hurtling through space around the standard sun, the greatest threat we ever faced was the neighboring tribe deciding to come and kill all the men and take the women and children for themselves. Every culture's done it. And so when you see a guy wearing a dress and a turban and a beard, it's scary. And when they tell you the tribal enemy is coming to get you, you line up and you do what you're told. And the sociologists and anthropologists know that if they show you a man in a dress, Bin Laden, you will crap your pants and give over your entire life to them. They're punching primitive buttons built into you for survival 50,000 years ago. We're facing a new enemy. And there comes the next instinct and the ultra secret they don't want you to know and what they're afraid of. Humanity are the ultimate survivors, the super dominant species of this planet. The omnivore super predator. It is because we adapt that we are all powerful on this planet and will project our species into the galaxy. Because we develop quickly, we adapt quickly, and we may be manipulated through some 50,000-year-old template.
Okay, folks, the rest of the video is on Infowars.com and on the Alex Jones channel on YouTube. And Alex makes a great point. Ordinary life is very dangerous. There's bee stings, there's lightning, there's accidental drownings, electrocution, all of it more common than terrorism. The point of terrorism is not the acute danger, but it's the fear factor, the actual false flag attacks perpetrated by Al-Qaeda, by Bin Laden, are just the inciting incidents for the drama they want to unfold because they want to institute the police state, the security checks, they want to expand the wars overseas. And Alex is totally right. That is just the distracting panic mode incident to get you to focus on their agenda, to move you out of the bushes, metaphorically, into the open where you're easy prey. And we've never been in greater danger, at least it appears that way, with this new Bin Laden myth. Coming up after the break, we have the White House phone numbers. I'll go ahead and give them out now. The comment line is 202-456-1111. 202-456-1111. And the switchboard is 202-456-1414. That's the switchboard at the White House. Call them. Tell them to stop the operation of government terrorists. Do not stage new terrorist attacks. We'll be back after the breaks. Dr. Steve Pachinik coming up. I'm Aaron Dykes. This is the Alex Jones Show. Red Alert. Back after the break.
It came along. Everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was
was a hero for this county's shining light. But you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say, you've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything.
You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything, folks. That's as good as anthem as we're going to have. We're at another red alert. Those of us who have known 9/11 was a false flag event, those of us who have known the bin Laden shadow puppet enemy is a hoax, have been beating the drums for almost a decade, but it's time to stand up again and tell them to stop. Do not stage new terror. We're trying to stop the military-industrial complex, the globalists who want to hijack these scare tactics to expand wars, to maintain the military budget, even while we have unprecedented rhetoric about dropping the budget in Washington. We need to let them know. We know what's going on. We know the bin Laden death is a hoax. We have expert Steve Pachenik coming up in the next segment. But we need to call the White House. We need to call Homeland Security. Contact them at their online reports. Let them know. The White House number again is the comment line, 202-456-1111. 202-456-1111. The switchboard number is 202-456-1414, 202-456-1414. Let them know we know who the real terrorists are, and we don't want to see another state's attack like 9/11. We don't want even greater security. We've already pushed back against the TSA invasive practices. We don't want security at our shopping malls and grocery stores. Ordinary life is dangerous enough, as you saw in Alex Jones's video. Just briefly, before we continue with the bin Laden events and all this staged terror, I just wanted to touch on the GOP debates last night hosted by Fox News. It was the so-called weak field. We saw already in 2008 trying to obscure Ron Paul's run, trying not to let a libertarian-minded constitutionalist rise to the top of the fray. So it's no surprise to see them manipulating events all over again. We had the AP and Reuters staging some kind of protest of the GOP debate because they weren't given full access. Thus, they reported less on this debate. And moreover, we saw this false positioning of an alternate dark horse candidate, this Herman Cain fellow, who used to work for the Federal Reserve people. He's being positioned as the Tea Party, populist movement rather than Ron Paul, who they gave almost no focus on, didn't talk to after the debates, didn't talk about after the debates. And I want to play one very brief 30, 45-second clip of Frank Luntz. He does these Fox News these Fox News focus groups, and it's completely staged. He handpicks these Republican responders, ordinary people, so-called, leads them down the path, and you'll see he accidentally chooses alphabetically to talk about only Herman Cain. Roll the clip, please.
And so who won tonight's debate? For that answer, we now check in with our very own Frank Luntz. He's standing by with a group of South Carolina GOP primary voters. Frank.
Sean, we got 29 of the most important people in America sitting right behind me right now. Let's go right to them. Who won the debate? Let's go in alphabetical order. How many of you think Herman Cain won the debate? Well, we can stop right there. John, I want a word or phrase to describe Herman Cain.
He answers the question most direct.
A breath of fresh air.
Common sense.
Talking points, no
resolution.
All right,
that's enough. You've got 29 very closely handled supposed focus groups. This Frank Luntz is a complete joke. It's a way of staging false reaction to this GOP field before the so-called front-runner candidates even get to appear. They didn't even mention Ron Paul. I was up all night working on this video of Alex and the terrorism thing while monitoring Fox News's post-debate coverage. They talked about all kinds of other stuff, other candidates, people who weren't even at the debate, Ron Paul, and much less. the New Mexico governor were not even mentioned. It's just a joke. But we have even more important fish to fry. It's just interesting to watch as the politics begins to unfold for 2012. Bin Laden and Dr. Steve Pachinik coming up after the break. And call the White House. We'll give out that number one more time.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We are back on the Alex Jones Show. This is Aaron Dykes filling in. Alex is out of town, but this is no time to sit down. This is no day off. We've got to stand up and let everyone know we don't want to see new stage terror. We don't want wider wars. We don't want to be provoked by this security complex police state. It's very important that you tell your friends, your neighbors, perfect strangers, and call the White House. Let them know we see through these tactics. We know who the real terrorists are. One more time, the White House comment line is 202-456-1111, 202-456-1111, and the switchboard, 202-456-1414. You can also find that at whitehouse.gov, and there's also ways to report incidents of suspected terror activity and other related stuff at Homeland Security. But right now, we go to Dr. Steve Pachinik. He's an absolute counterterrorism and security expert. He worked under, I believe, four presidents, including directly under Henry Kissinger, Cyrus Vance, George Shultz, and James Baker, all at varying roles as Secretary of State and or National Security Advisor under the corresponding presidents. He has numerous PhDs, a background in as a psychiatrist, and is the first psychiatrist to receive a PhD focusing on international relations. You can more or less guess what that means, something along the lines of black ops. But I'll let Steve Pachinik explain himself. Doctor, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much for that introduction. But quite frankly, really, it's not just black ops. What I was really trained to do, and it was a formal training between Harvard and MIT, was really to understand strategy, tactics, how to develop treaties, how to do conflict resolution without using our military, and how to use our military in a way that they didn't have to go to war. And so I was involved in Camp David, the peace treaties between Israel and Egypt, and then the conflicts in the Palestinian areas, and then it was brought back in to do the peace treaties, the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia, and disarming them without arms. But I do work with our military, and I have great respect for them, but I have been various roles. I think everything you said was correct. I think the audience should be aware of anything that resembles a suppression of liberty or an increased security in the name of homeland security or a stand down or a false flag operation. But from my point of view at this point in time, I think that your public and the public in general, but I think the Alex Jones shows and many other shows have really encouraged the American public to stand up and say, listen, we're not stupid. And, you know, 9/11 occurred, and that happened, but that's not going to happen again. And this whole story and nonsensical story of Osama bin Laden, who's already been dead for 10 years from Marfan syndrome, can't be used as a pretext for further increased security against the American public and a reason to send our brave men and women into wars that are really not of any great advantage for our national security, but in effect let China come into Pakistan and use their resources, and China come into Afghanistan to use their resources. So the issue now becomes, does Obama understand that he has made a very big mistake, along with his White House cronies and sycophants, and that if they pursue this nonsensical story, which even the New York Times is pointing out on the front page, Elizabeth Buhler is pointing out the inconsistencies. Now, when the New York Times points that out, you know very well, there's a serious problem, that the story just doesn't work it. war. That doesn't diminish the role of our military. That doesn't diminish the role of a brave intelligence operatives who are out there for many other reasons than terrorism. We do have other problems which have to do with drug cartels, gang wars, and other issues I don't want to get into. But at this particular point in time, there is a very clear voice, the loud, unspoken, but very clearly heard voice from the American public to Obama and his coteries, cease and desist this nonsensical PSYOPs operation. And I'm just one single individual, an American citizen, no better, no worse, somebody who served 8 to 9 times in our government, and is willing to die once again to say, we can't continue this cronyism, the capital cronyism, the klepto cronyism, and the psychological operations that they've been pulling, not only in the world against Muslims, innocent Muslims, but also against the United States of America that consists of all types of people. So that can't continue. And Obama is on notice, and he's on notice very clearly. And if he continues to pursue this nonsensical psyops with stories that make no sense whatsoever, the inherent contradictions will blow up in his face as they're doing now, and eventually he'll have to confront the American public with another one of his lame speeches. But we'll see what happens.
What does it mean that they've resurrected this specter of bin Laden at this not only at a politically expedient point in time, but at a time where they're looking to more or less rebrand our war on terror? They've already told us they want it to go on 40, 50, 100 years, but we're in this new front with Libya. Al-Qaeda is a sort of ally again, as it was in the Yugoslav war years. Why have they resurrected bin Laden at this time, and why is that an indication that we're on watch for greater terror alerts?
Well, there's one word for that, and that word is desperation. When you really don't know what to do, when you don't know how to bring the increased number of unemployed people back into the labor force, and you really don't know how to control the Congress, and you really don't know how to control the budget, and you don't know how to deal with the fiscal irresponsibility. The big national security problem is not Al-Qaeda or anybody else. It's our debt and our financial crisis. What it means is that when you're desperate and you can't deal with internal problems, you always look to external issues. And this is a classical psychological operation, which Hitler did when he had used prisoners of war to basically invade Poland. When any country has an internal problem, they externalize their problem. In this case, Obama fell into the old, trite, and almost pathetic psychological operation where we say we have Osama bin Laden, and Obama had ordered Panetta to shoot Obama. Well, Osama, there's a Freudian slip again, but basically, Osama bin Laden, I mean, it's all becoming so ridiculous that it's almost like a Walt Disney. I have to explain what's happening in Disneyland, and it's getting very tiresome to explain that the ridiculousness of the PSYOPs operation is really ridiculous from a PSYOPs point of view, which I taught for over 30 years and was involved in. This is so poorly constructed that even within the psychological operation, it doesn't make sense. You're resurrecting a man who everyone in the community knows was dead 10 years ago. The men in the CIA who were involved know very well that he had died of Marfan syndrome under Clinton, actually, and the Bush administration used it. That didn't work. And so they created a narrative which Bush Jr. perpetrated, and it didn't work then. And now Obama's resurrecting it out of desperation because he wants to, one, look very assertive, two, more than anything else, this man, who has really done very little in his life and also in the presidency, wants to resurrect the notion that he's a very assertive leader, and that having been assertive and having reaffirmed that he's an American citizen through a birth certificate, quote, end quote, he now can show you that not only is he American, but he's really a John Wayne American because he can go out and kill the man who's already dead.
Exactly, I mean, exactly.
Absurd. And
you mentioned Panetta
to go in and kill a dead man.
Sorry, you mentioned...
He wants to get reelected in 2012 and really preempt the Republican Party. Since the Republican Party is very weak and the Tea Party has been marginalized and there's almost no one in the system that will...
Dr. Pachinik, you mentioned Panetta. How important is it that he's moving to Secretary of Defense at this time? How important is it that he looks tough on terror so that they can maintain some support for all these wars?
Well, actually, he's been a very dysfunctional individual. I don't know the gentleman. I know his history. He's really comes out of the school of what we call the pandering school of politicians. He's just a low-level politician who worked for Clinton. He is very good in one area, and that's budget allocation. He knows nothing about the military. When he took over the CIA, it was a disaster under him. As you remember, there was a whole episode where 7 operatives were killed because they couldn't vet out one of the informants, who was a doctor, by the way. And then he's been killing civilians repeatedly with the drone attacks. So it has changed from a CIA, has changed from an analytical and intelligent and a human operation into basically reallocating special forces and mercenaries. So most of the CIA right now is really a mercenary unit with special forces reallocated to him. So there's really no more or very little of what we used to have in a very effective CIA under Bush Sr. and other presidents. I think his coming to Secretary of Defense is a very serious mistake. I don't think he's qualified. I don't think he really knows anything about the military. He knows really nothing about national security. His poor performance as a CIA director just reaffirms the fact that the president really doesn't care about performance. Neither did Bush Jr., and he just wants really loyalty and sycophants around him who he thinks he can control. His only asset, which is a strong asset, is budget allocation. But given the fact that he was a politician, still is a politician, is not an intelligence operative, really doesn't understand intelligence, I think this is not a very good sign. The best Secretary of Defense we have had up to date, besides George Marshall, has been Gates. There's no accident that Gates was brought in. Many of us who worked for Bush Sr. were great advocates for Gates instead of having Donald Rumsfeld, also an incompetent Secretary of Defense, and a very dangerous one at that. In this case, Panetta is not as malevolent or Machiavellian as Rumsfeld was, whom Bush Sr. really didn't like, and none of us in the White House who worked for Bush Sr. and the State Department ever liked or respected. Panetta is really much more incompetent. Gates, unfortunately, has been one of the best secretaries of defense. He knows exactly what our strategies need to be. He knows exactly what the allocation of resources are required. But unfortunately, he's tired. And I think he's tired of a lot of the nonsense that's going on in this administration, and he wants to go back to private life. I don't know the gentleman. I know all of him. We've been in many administrations together, but I have a great respect for him. I have a great respect for his generals who work underneath him, Petraeus and others. And I think we will have a strong military. I do not believe that our military, not the National Security Guards, but our military will ever shoot American citizens. Let me repeat that again, and let me tell that to our intelligence operatives who are listening to this show. Again, let me explain it to you. Gentlemen and ladies, do not in any way think that our military will ever, ever shoot American citizens. Those who serve our country and are dedicated to our country will not do what happened in 1970 in Ohio at Kent State and kill several students. If that happens, Obama has much more than a serious problem. He has a revolution. So I am not convinced that it's going to happen. Whether we have incompetent people in the so-called paramilitary and the more local law enforcement, so the TSA and the so-called Homeland Security, and an accident occurs there, that's more likely. But from the point of view of our professional military, the ones that I know that are not self-aggrandizing and not promoting themselves in the newspapers, and you don't know about them, nor should you, these are very professional, dedicated patriots to our country. Plus, we have many veterans in this country, including myself and millions of others who serve the country, that will not allow a stand-down false flag operation to occur again. And furthermore, we really have to look at the problem of what happens to these men and women who go to the countries, who are sent by civilians who've never served in the military, including Clinton, Bush Jr., and Obama. And basically, what happens is when they come back, they don't have a house because the banks foreclosed on them. They don't get health benefits because the VA doesn't have enough money to provide them with mental health. And they don't have the reimbursements that are required for them. So we not only send these men and women to death for causes that are never clear and are never very relevant to our national security, but when they come back, we discard them as cannon fodder, and that is inexcusable. So what happens in effect is that we are building up a critical mass, including myself and millions of other veterans who served this country for many years, who are disgruntled, disappointed, angry, and that will be funneled into an articulation that could be quite serious to this presidency if he does not be careful about the narrative that he is continuing.
Doctor, you're right. There's a lot of military and police who know better than to follow legal orders, and that's why we have great organizations like the Oath Keepers trying to reach those people and remind them not to follow illegal orders, that their loyalty is to the American people. But I want to switch gears briefly to the whistleblower. I mean, A, recap the warning that you were told by a top general that 9/11 was a false flag, that your knowledge about bin Laden, but also the role of whistleblowers. The Madoff whistleblower was ignored for a decade. You blew the whistle almost a decade ago, barely any attention. Sybil Edmonds was an FBI translator. She blew the whistle. So many others. There's been people trying to beat the drum on this issue. What's it going to take to really take the 9/11 false flag, we don't want a continuing war on terror movement, into the mainstream of the ordinary public?
Well, let me, with all due respect to you and the audience, I'm not a whistleblower. I literally am just an American citizen who, when I saw the events of 9/11, not only did I understand what happened, but remember, I teach this at the war colleges and the various places, so I knew right away who was involved. Rumsfeld, Cheney, Wolfowitz, again, never been held accountable, Hadley, Condoleezza Rice, Elliot Abrams, you have a whole bunch of these neocons. The answer is, it's very simple. I really never stopped going on the air, and Alex Jones is one of the first people to bring me up. But the reality is, we have to go on the air repeatedly and elect officials whom we feel really represent the voice of the people. Now, the beginnings of the Tea Party, I'm not here to criticize them, had that initial urge of saying, look, we want less federal government, we want transparency, and we have one accountability. That all sounds fine, but the minute it was co-opted by very razzle-dazzle personalities and extremely charismatic people, who I don't in any way begrudge, because that's the American way, it was immediately diminished in importance. So what really happened? The critical group in this country of people who really have an invested interest in transparency and in national security are by definition the veterans. We who have fought, the men and women and the children who fought for our country in the various wars, understand what it means that liberty is not given to us. We have to acquire it. But we will not go out and kill for just purposes that are defined by civilians who've never been in war and have no strategic end other than their own political self-aggrandizement.
Doctor, we're going to be back on the other side to continue on this line. I'm Aaron Dykes. This is the Alex Jones Show. Back in the last segment with Dr. Steve Pachinik. Doctor, we have so many more questions to ask you. First off, I want to know, could you do 5 minutes with us into overtime?
Absolutely, no problem. For the Alex Jones Show, I'll do another hour.
Well, thank you very much. Look, there's been Forbes, there's been New York Magazine, other mainstream publications. They've reported on you being on the show in the last few days. They admit that you are who you say you are, but they're trying to belittle it. They're joking about it. They're not paying serious attention, but they have been forced to respond. What do you make of that, sir?
I don't know, because I don't buy Forbes. I don't respect the Forbes family. If you know anything about the Forbes family, you will know with the Delano family, they were in the drug business in the 1890s, 1880s. They were selling opium to China in the Boxer Revolution. So they can say whatever they want. All I think they want is for somebody to buy their subscription. But it's of little value to me what Forbes has to say. What's the other magazine, The New Yorker? That's a joke. That's really a self-righteous magazine for liberals on the West End Avenue and 85th Street who could sit there and mull over. But I have no interest in any of them. You know, I'm too busy doing business and really, quite frankly, enjoying going on your show. But I have no time to read most of that. They know they're extinct, so there really is nothing there of interest. There's nothing to address there, I think. Basically, they delegitimized themselves a long time ago. But
well, that's what we see in all the mainstream, of course.
History, where they were drug pushers, and they have been for a long time. And then Forbes himself, I think, should be very careful as to whether he says anything, because his own father and his family has a very, very dark history and many, many aspects. So I would consider that they should shut their mouth up and just close up business, and probably they should join your show and go on the Internet. That's my attitude.
Exactly. What do you see on the front? Do you see another false flag in the works with all this hype propaganda? And
well, you know,
where would you expect to see it?
From the point of view of the extremist, you would see a false flag. But as I said to you before, it's a very dangerous concept for anyone in the... And that's why I'm saying again to my colleagues in the intelligence community and the military community, if they're even thinking, just thinking of doing a false flag, it's a very dangerous consideration, because this country is not the same country it was in 2001 when they pulled a false flag and stand down operation. Everybody knows now what stand down means, what a false flag. If for any reason there happens to be something that even smells of a false flag, they will have a very serious disturbance in the United States populace. And I don't think Obama understands it. I don't really think many of his coterie do. But fortunately, there are some very bright people in the White House, and they know who they are, and they're listening to me, and they understand. I think it's best that they cease and desist this absurd narrative of this, of the attack on a mortuary to get a body that was dead for 10 years, and just stop it. Because even the New York Times and Bill Keller, who I do admire, the managing director, and I've known him since he was a writer, a young writer, you know, they're beginning to question this. And Roger Ailes, who I admire immensely, who's head of Fox News and who created Fox News, he knows that this is absurd. And even though his people below him, the other shows, these people, and Ted Turner, who lives in Montana, I mean, these are very smart individuals. And at some point, they're going to make their own papers say, okay, it's enough. The American public doesn't buy it. They don't want it. Let's talk about the real issues, which is a deficit. The biggest national security problem, without a doubt, is right now our economy.
Dr. Steve Pachinik, we're going to continue on the other side in a few minutes of Overdrive. This is the Alex Jones Show. You want to hear all this information, I guarantee you. Drive. I'm Aaron Dyke sitting in for Alex, but as I said earlier, this is not a day you want to miss. This is not a day you want to sit down and do nothing. We have the terrorist rhetoric at fever pitch, this ridiculous bin Laden hoax, and we're on with counterterrorism expert and perennial government official, Dr. Steve Pachinik. We were just talking about how the big wigs can see through this. So many of the people can see through this. In your previous appearances on this show, you mentioned that we need a new peaceful American revolution. Do you think calling the White House, trying to reach out and let them know that people understand what's going on. Is that a good first step? And how do we reach a tipping point, sir?
I like what you did, and I think the American public should do that. I think they should call their senators and their congressmen and their state senators, and I think there should be a response. If there is not a response, then the American people understand we need to have a third party, and we have to start calling into question, number one, the Electoral College process. That doesn't work anymore. It doesn't represent the people of the United States. Secondly, I think the veterans of America should really organize together along with their families to say, you know, we don't really have a legitimate third party which expresses what we want. We will not accept this nonsense between the Republicans and Democrats, which seems to be nothing more than just shifting hats between different members of the whorehouse. I mean, I remember President Truman saying, you know, when I leave the office of the presidency, they wanted me to endorse various aspects. He said they didn't want me as the president. They want the office of the presidency. He said the only difference between me and a president is just that I'm a piano player in a whorehouse. And he was very honest. He left with no money, no book guarantees, unlike our present president. And he left an honest, poor man with his benefits from having been in World War One. And what I'm asking again of the American public is very simple. Call the White House, call your legislators, call whomever. But when that doesn't work, which I suspect will not work, then it's time for the American public to wake up and say, okay, there was one party that came up and represented whatever, but it's time for us to really get together and to say to ourselves, let's be practical, we're pragmatic, we're basically individuals. We don't want federal government involved in our business, in our private lives. We don't need religion to be imposed upon us and be an issue on the practical elements of our own life and where we're going. And we have men and women, over 11 million veterans of different wars, who are saying, you know, we gave our life to this country. Now it's time for the country to give us something back, which is literally our democracy. So in doing so, we create papers, we go on the internet, we do shows like you have, and we go out and demonstrate all peacefully, just as the way it was done in Egypt, it's done elsewhere. If the federal government confronts us with guns and war, I don't think that should happen, nor will it happen. But if that is the case, I will be certain that there are men in the military who will not do that and will prevent that from happening. So I say to the American public once again, the voice of the people is the voice of God. Vox populus, vox Deus. It's your turn, it's your chance, but I am tired as an American citizen, not because I'm a counter-terrorist export, which I think is a great line, because I was exported out to go after terrorists.
Freudian slip again. Let me tell you
something very funny about the business of terrorism, and it's something peculiar to it. Today's terrorist is tomorrow's statesman. When I worked against Arafat, and he killed one of our ambassadors, and we hunted him, and he knew we were after him, years later, I had to deal with him as statesman in the Camp David Accords. And don't ever forget that, because we too, American revolutionaries, were born as revolutionaries. John Adams, Jefferson, George Washington, we were all terrorists in the eyes of the British. Years later, we became the official founding fathers of this state. Now, Al-Qaeda is a product of our own government, created by our government for the purposes of our national security. Those days are gone. We don't need it. There is no more war on terrorism. What there is an economic war which we have to address. And the most serious national security problem is our debt and our financial growth. We have to grow at a rate.
Okay, I suppose that's all the time we have. It is time to stand up.